We read that psalm, Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Reading the entire psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thus far we read in sacred scripture this evening. It's based upon that passage and many others that we have the instruction in Lord's Day 47. Lord's Day 47 of our Heidelberg Catechism, which we consider this evening. We are at this time going through the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, the six petitions proper now, beginning with the very first one this evening in Lord's Day 47. Which is the first petition? Answer: Hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Beloved congregation, do you not agree? How excellent is the name of Jehovah? And so praise for his name is and must be first and foremost in the heart and life of a child of God. Do we need reasons for that assertion? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 8 gives us three reasons. Because number one, of what I call the irony of his sovereignty, first of all, that set forth in verse 2 of the psalm, where the Lord displays his sovereignty by choosing who would praise him. And it's not his enemies. Not those intelligent ones with intelligent plots and schemes devised against him and his people, but babes and sucklings, even young covenant children, younger than most of you who are now seated in the sanctuary, children, young covenant children who are quite far still from learning how to speak intelligibly. Oh, beloved, the irony of his sovereignty is that such children are wise. And on the other hand, his enemies, his intelligent enemies, fools. Fools for failing to praise him. Fools for denying him. Fools for opposing him and being devoted to oppose him and his people. Praise Jehovah's name for the irony of his sovereignty. But also, praise his name because in the second place of the wonder of his care. That thought is found in the psalm as well. And his wonderful care over all creation is testified in verse 3 of the psalm. His wonderful care over all creation and then his mindfulness of us, verse 4, implying a mindfulness of us, a care of all of us in our thoughts and ways, which is what the psalmist is in awe and wonder of in the psalm. Oh, praise him. Praise and hallow his name for the irony of his sovereignty, for the wonder of his care, but also because, number 3, of the honor. Honor that is given to us, man. That's a point well made in verse 4 and the rest of the psalm. And that's well summed then, versified in Psalter number 15 that we sang moments ago. What is man that he should be loved and visited by thee? Crowned with honor. Raised to an exalted height. Crowned with honor in thy sight. These then are reasons for praising and hallowing God's name given here by the psalmist in Psalm 8. And I am sure you have yours and I have mine this evening. But really the reason that is before us this evening is simply because according to our Lord Jesus Christ, such praise needs to be at the very top of our priority, also in prayer. For it is the very first petition Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that teaches us how to pray. So consider with me then the first petition, praying, hallowed be thy name. What we pray for, the blessed fruits of this prayer and its supreme importance. What we are praying for in this prayer is that God's name be set apart, be supremely exalted, especially by us. And that means three things. It's just as our catechism instructor sets forth three things. First, that we rightly know God. That stands to reason. For can we praise him without knowing him? If we are going to set his name apart, if we are going to supremely exalt his name, then we first need to know him. And that means two things. First and most, basically, that we rightly know God means that we need to know the right God to begin with. And the right God is not Allah, the Muslim God. The right God is not Buddha, nor any other vain idols of man erected by man's imaginations. But God, the triune God of heaven and earth, one in being, three in persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the absolutely sovereign God who does as he pleases, the almighty God, the majestic God, the great, grand, and all-glorious God. Him, this one true God, and no one else. And so number 2, we need to know him. That's the God we are to know. Children, are you listening? Do you know God, children? What do we mean when we say we know him? Children, you know that God is great, that God is good, and so you thank him for your food, as you must, and that's all very good. But that's not what our catechism instructor means by knowing God, any more than we adult members picking up a theological textbook and turning especially to the section and locus on theology and reading that section. Or, for that matter, catechumens studying especially Heidelberg Catechism or Essentials. That's knowing about God, but not knowing God. And to be sure, Pastor Lee here is not speaking against reading good theological books, nor is he against catechetical instruction. Certainly not. In order to know him, you first need to know about him. But it may not, and it must not, stop there. It must go on, onward and forward to knowing him. And what does that mean? It means that you know all these things about him, that he is great, that he is good, that he is triune, that he is sovereign, great and glorious, but on top of that, that you relate to him as your sovereign friend. Children, it's kind of like you knowing your mom and dad. You know your mom and dad, don't you? You know them well. You hold them close to your heart, especially because you see them every day, and you see them every day because you live with them and they with you. You know what they like, and you know what they do not like. You know how they speak. You know how they act. And yes, you relate to them. You relate to them. It's more than just reading about them. That's a knowing about them, but you know them close up. You're up close to them every day of your lives, and so you relate to them closely, as you would a deeply respected friend of yours. Well, praying for his name to be hallowed means that we're praying that we know him. And therefore also, that there be a growth and growing in knowing him. That, of course, is implied. A person who asks to know God will not want that knowledge and relationship to be static, stagnant. Of course not. He'll want that relationship to grow, to deepen. And with that, therefore, increasing enjoyment of him, increasing dependence upon him, increasing delight in him, and yes, a high, high, high priority, even chief priority, to honor his name. You want that, don't you? Well, he who wants that will also, in the second place, want to sanctify, praise, and glorify him in all his works. That's the second thing we pray for when we pray for God's name to be hallowed, to have His name be sanctified, praised, and glorified in all of His works. And why now? Why sanctify, praise, and glorify Him in all His works? Aren't we praying for His name to be hallowed? Well, to be sure, the main and most obvious and direct way to know God and to praise Him is through His names. Two things here: His proper names, and then His attributes. His proper names. What proper names? God, that's the most simple proper name. Lord, Lord of hosts. Father, Jehovah, or Lord in capital letters. Each name revealing something about Him. You think, for example, of those last two names mentioned, Father. That name reveals, among many things, his pity, His tender-heartedness, His compassion. But also it reveals His separateness, His otherness, His exaltedness, because He is our Father which is in heaven. Just as Jesus teaches us in the opening address of the Lord's Prayer. And then there's the name Jehovah, which we all well know, especially and love in our circles, is the covenant name, revealing that He's the God of the covenant. He's the God of friendship with us and our children. But that name, which literally means I am that I am, also reveals many other wonderful attributes about Him. I am that I am. I'm independent. I don't depend on you for anything. I am that I am. I am sovereign. I rule over all. I am that I am. I am eternal. And I am unchanging. He was, He is, He ever will be. And that reminds us that God's name also includes His attributes, which are His characteristics. As, for example, those characteristics or attributes set forth by our catechism instructor, goodness, justice, mercy, truth. God is His attributes, and most famously, of course, God is love. And so you and I know Him also through His names and praise Him through His names, His proper names and His attributes. But we also do so through His works. Children, on such a beautiful, bright day as this, we praise God for His creation, don't we? And we also praise God for His providence. He upholds and directs all of creation around us to the glory of His name. And most of all, we praise God for His work of salvation. For where would we be without that work? That work operating within our hearts. For they are His works. His completely, not ours. And every one of them speaks well of Him, and therefore His name. Now, catechism instructors mentions the work of God, the works of God, and not the name of God for good reasons. Why? Well, one reason would be this. Because His works are a reflection, yea, also even a revelation of Him and His glorious being, this invisible God. His works reveal His glorious being in some particular way. Scripture teaches this truth. teaches this truth in various places. It teaches this truth perhaps most memorably towards the end of the Old Testament, when in Malachi chapter 4, it proclaims and sings of Christ's coming by speaking of the sun, yes, the bright sun that we see, the sun of righteousness, S-U-N, arising with healing in his wings. That sun will arise. That's almost the last word spoken in the Old Testament, and then 400 years of silence till we get to the New Testament. That promise was set forth to God's people, waiting and waiting and waiting, and they were not disappointed. For the Son of Righteousness did arise. And we especially celebrate that truth today on Easter Sunday. But the point here is, beloved, that sun, that beautiful sun in creation, and its rising, it's a glorious picture of Jesus and his marvelous resurrection. And so we who are called to hallow his name praise him for his wonderful works. And what is it to hallow his name? To hallow God's name means to exalt it, to set it apart. And so rightly and fittingly, both, rightly and fittingly, our catechism instructor uses three words to describe it: sanctify, glorify, and praise. Rightly, I say. Rightly, because to sanctify is to regard and or treat as holy. To glorify is to make glorious, to exalt, to honor. And to praise is to lift up, to speak well of. In other words, all three very much mean the one and same thing as hallow. Rightly, and now also fittingly, because the action of hallowing, especially God's name, so deserves the threefold emphasis which our catechism instructors give in this summary of Christian instruction. In a summary, that summary needs to be concise, of course. And here our catechism instructors break with that rule here for just one small moment, to emphasize in a threefold way the great significance of hallowing God's name. To hallow is to sanctify. To hallow is to praise. To hallow is to glorify. Is to set it so apart. Is to lift it up on high. Way beyond us. That's the attitude that you and I must have when we take the name of God upon our lips. And that's emphasized by this threefold emphasis, three with three different words to describe the hallowing of God's name. Children and congregation of God, you agree with that, don't you? And if you do, then you'll understand that prayer for hallowing God's name will not be confined and limited and made narrow in scope, that we only want to do that in prayer and worship, public worship. Certainly not. It will rather expand and extend comprehensively in scope to all of life and living. It will therefore also, thirdly, mean that, quote, further also that we, thy creatures, we, Lord, thy creatures, may so order and direct our lives. Not just our prayers, not just our worship, but our lives. What's the proof for this third aspect of what we are asking for in the first petition? The proof for that is rather straightforward and plain. For just imagine, what would the life of a person who prays this petition, but who would restrict and limit his praise and exaltation of God's name to only prayer or worship on Sundays? How do we describe that kind of life? I think one word will suffice. It's the life of a hypocrite. And children, what is a hypocrite? Sounds like a big word. Really, the meaning is very simple. A hypocrite is not a real Christian. A hypocrite is a pretend Christian, an insincere Christian, and in other words, a fake Christian, who is, of course, no Christian at all. Only a hypocrite will confine and restrict his Christianity and therefore his praise of his God to a church building, to a certain day of the week, to a certain time, to a certain activity, and not in other spheres, times, and places in his life. Beloved, from a very practical point of view, all of life is worship. Do you think of it that way? You can't worship and exalt the name of God properly and truly in worship if our life is in shambles. Certainly no one will believe our oral witness of Jesus Christ if our life is in shambles. Praying, therefore, that God's name be hallowed means that we are asking God to give us grace to order and direct our lives in a God-glorifying way. And, beloved, the importance of godly order in the Christian life cannot be overstated. Something which our youth and children need to give attention to. Godly ordering of the Christian life. And so what does the life of one who orders it, who sincerely means and prays, hallowed be thy name, look like? It is God-centered. Does that sound too abstract for our youth and children especially? Well, let me make that clear for all of us. Children, it's just like a solar system. You know the solar system with the planets? Jupiter, Mercury, Mars, Earth. Can't name them all anymore. All these planets, what are they doing? They're all revolving around the sun. Well, a God-centered life is the life of one who truly and earnestly prays, hallowed be thy name, with all his heart. That one, his life and thought would look like this. His life, every aspect of his life, every department of his life, personal, home, family, school, friends, church, work, priorities, recreation. All of life will revolve around God. The ungodly have their lives revolving around them. The godly one who prays this petition earnestly is praying for God to order his life so that everything revolves around him. Order. Order and direction. Unto what end or goal? Certainly that his name may never be blasphemed, but rather that his name be honored and praised on our account. That's what we ask for in this first petition. The fruits then of such a prayer are blessed, very blessed indeed. Twofold blessedness, a blessedness unto God and then unto ourselves. In relation to God, God is honored, God is praised, God is reverenced by us in every way. Each time we take these words of the first petition upon our lips and from within the heart. Hallowed be thy name. God, the all-knowing and all-seeing God, sees and penetrates right into our hearts and is pleased with the worship we offer up unto him in prayer. The worship that we give to him, the prayer that we pray, doing so by his grace. The fruit of our sincere prayer that his name be hallowed is, of course, that it is. It is hallowed. It is hallowed because he is pleased by such a prayer, truthfully and truly prayed from the heart. But also in the second place, in relation to us, we ourselves are blessed through it too. For he who hears our prayer is none other than our Heavenly Father, who is able and who is willing to give us all good gifts, and who therefore answers this good prayer and petition with his blessing. What we ask for will be given by our good, gracious Heavenly Father. For even the wicked know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more then our Father which art in heaven, who gave us his own Son, that we may have and enjoy life, life with him, also not give good, only good unto us. What we ask for will be realized in our hearts and lives more and more. We'll know him and we'll grow. We'll grow closer to him in our relationship of love, friendship, and devotion with him. We will also more and more sanctify, praise, and glorify him in all his works, more and more consistently too. And we will more and more order and direct our lives. We become thinking Christians more and more, thinking to order and direct our lives unto the glory, honor, and praise of his name. Beloved congregation, do you not want these things and more, including the enjoyment of our one and only comfort in life and in death? Then pray. Pray. And like the psalmist in Psalm 8, exclaim and proclaim in your prayers, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, beginning right here with you and with me in heartfelt prayer. For you understand, this prayer is of supreme importance. It is, after all, the very first petition of the Lord's Prayer. It is of supreme importance because God is most jealous of His name. Jealous with a guarded, holy jealousy. He takes His name seriously, very, very seriously. From a negative viewpoint, we've seen that in the Catechism. Recall that this was a teaching point we had considered at length in relation to Lord's Day 36 and the third commandment, that, quote, "There is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of His name." How He hates that. And so, on the other hand, and now from a positive viewpoint, this is exactly why our catechism instructor taught us in Lord's Day 45 that prayer is the chief part of thankfulness to God. And that's because an important form and aspect of prayer is exactly praise and worship to God. And that's exactly what this first petition is all about. And beloved, we have every incentive to pray it and to make it our chief prayer. So, let's do it. Make it our priority to pray it more and more, and to pray it with fullness of meaning and sincerity in mind and heart. Hallowed be thy name.